أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات الله على محمد. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa azzam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn wa awlad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn. Among the edible things, one of the food that is permissible to eat is fish. But according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and the riwayat that we have and an understanding from some of the ayat of the Quran, of all different types of seafood, we need to remember that only fish that has a scale, originally has a scale, is edible. So all other type of seafood other than scaled fish, in addition to prawn and shrimp, these two also, they are halal according to the riwayat that we have. But remember that shrimp or prawn, they don't belong to the same category as the lobster. Therefore, lobster is not permissible. And other than shrimp, prawn, and scaled fish, there is no any other sea animal that is edible according to our mazhab. When we say that a scaled fish, and this is again something that, by the way, in the Jewish tradition, they believe by and large in it as well. But when we say the scaled fish, we are talking about any kind of fish that originally, or if they scientifically tell us that this kind of fish, originally they have a scale. Even if later on some of the fish are naughty or for whatever reason, they lose their scale, still is permissible. Therefore, for example, salmon is permissible to eat it, even though you don't see much, what do you call it, salmon trout especially, that you don't see apparently a scale on it, a scale, but because originally has a scale, it is permissible. And when we are again talking about the scale, it doesn't, the whole body does not have to be completely covered by a scale. As long as there is a bit of a scale on the body, it goes to the category of edible fish and it's permissible to eat them. There are some studies done on this issue as well, that Quran says that from the seawater we have created for you lahman tariya, fresh type of food with fresh meat, referring to the scaled fish. And based on those studies, and I remember I was reading a fish encyclopedia in which it was saying that one of the differences, and I, by the way, checked this with a fisherman, And the study shows that fish that have a scale, they usually live in sweet rivers, sea, and therefore the meat is more fresh, and you know, even the taste of it is better than non-scaled fish. Whereas the kind of fish that they don't have a scale, Usually they are living in a slimy and in not killing kinds of water. It's just amazing. It's a miracle again of the miracles of Islam and all the divine religions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is another ayah in the Quran, says yas'alunaka madha uhilla lakum, yas'alunaka madha uhilla lahum. They ask you what has been made permissible for them to eat. قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Tell them that whatever that's pure and clean, God has made it halal for you. So rest assured, anything that in Islam we hear that it is halal, that means that it's pure and clean and is good and compatible with your body, with your physical system. Whatever that is mentioned to be haram, it's just because it's not compatible. Not all that is created in this world are for us to consume. There are other purposes for their creation. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Lest I forget, because inshallah tomorrow night will be the last night, and tomorrow I have a presentation to show you, subject to having that HDMI cable that we were looking for it, and some special talks. So sort of tonight would be the last in our series of talks. May God forgive me if mistakenly I have mentioned anything in my talks that has been wrong, and may God in fact enlighten me. And if you come across anything to correct me, please don't hesitate to share it with me. But one issue I mentioned based on something that I seen on the Harun Yahya's website before, some of the things that he was claiming, like there are signs that Mahdi will be from Turkey and from that area. And then I also heard in some other literatures that he had claimed to be Mahdi. One of the brothers, Jazahullah Khaira, shared a documentary, an interview, in fact, with him, in which he says that he denounces that. And even apparently he was cursing, yes? He was cursing anyone like who claims to be Mahdi. Anyway, if the mistake was from my end, may God forgive me. And usually it's not my habit. We are not supposed to be like this, to mention especially name, but subhanAllah, sometimes it happens. Anyway, thank you very much, the brother, for sending me the information. And inshallah, we should be more careful talking especially about individuals. Again, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Although you're young, well, younger than me, a little bit younger than me, but I suppose that you're all, like me, sort of tired. Before I come to this lecture, because I have a couple of more programs to go, I had a bit of time and I had to either spend it for preparation for the lecture or taking a rest, having some rest, and I chose the latter, I chose the second for obvious reasons. I said it's better that I have some rest, and inshallah I talk to them from my heart. So tonight's talk is without, inshallah, any preparation, even though I promise you that something very important I have to share with you. But as we say, whatever comes from qalb goes to the qalb. What comes from heart, inshallah, I hope that it goes to the heart. Especially for those brothers and sisters who've been with us, alhamdulillah, from the first night that we started this majalis. And if you haven't been, alhamdulillah, one of the brothers, Brother Sayyid Dayan, has been posting them on YouTube. You can watch them. Your Sushi friends or those who are interested to know more about Islam, Shia Islam, or they are contemplating about them, share those links with them. Inshallah, it will make a difference. Further, if you still have any questions, inquiries, comments, by all means, send your emails to sheikh@ehoze.com. And we can take it from there. But remember that the main point that throughout the previous nights, I was every night from different angle doing my very best. And really to the end of the month of Safar still, I could come up with every night a different angle and it will never finish. Talking about the virtues and the excellencies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the pure progeny of the Prophet. Always I mentioned that at the end of every lecture, you appreciate alhamdulillah, the blessing of Balaya, the blessing of love of Ahlul Bayt and following Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, to know why is it that you can proudly say that alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada, alhamdulillah that I'm one of the followers of Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, sharing with you various distinguished characteristics of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. All right? So we always every night saying that alhamdulillah, I'm proud of having a leader like Imam Ali. I'm proud of having a leader like Imam Hussein. I'm proud of having a leader like the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. One question tonight I want to raise on behalf of Imam Al-Hujja Jalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, on behalf of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on behalf of all the martyrs of Karbala, on behalf of the captives of Karbala, that from tonight their tragedy and their, their role begins, and that is all right. Always I've been saying that I'm proud of having leaders like you, Ya Hussein, leaders like you, Ya Qasim, leaders like you, Ya Zainab. Would they say the same about us as well? Do you think that Imam Hussein alayhi salam tonight, that we have just finished with Ashura program, we went for procession, we did, all the programs that we could do today for Imam Hussein and the previous nights. Do you think that tonight or tomorrow Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, I'm proud of having a follower like you, or not? Anyone here or wherever that they know and they call themselves a Shia, as the follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that you ask her that into Shia, she says, hey, Alhamdulillah, I am. Are you brother Shia? Alhamdulillah, yes, I am. Everyone, including myself, first and foremost, we all have to have an answer for this question. If tonight, on the way home, I'm contemplating that would Imam Hussein alayhi salam be proud of me as a Shia or not? Or would have brought some shame to him, astaghfirullah. He says that you have brought nothing other than a shame to me as your Imam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when he was alive, he was telling his companions, his followers, that live a life that in the street, in your suburb, wherever that you live, in your town, when people they see you, your neighbors, non-Muslims, non-Shia neighbors, that they get to know about you, they see your character, they said, Rahimallah Ja'far ibn Muhammadan. May the mercy of God be on Ja'far ibn Muhammadan, Imam Sadiq. Look how he has disciplined his followers. How well they are behaved. Like, for example, I heard a couple of issues just before I come up for my talk about collecting the lunch today and an incident during the procession. Astaghfirullah Rabbil Wa'atu. Well, this is definitely a shaitan. I tell you something, and from tonight onward, pay more attention and you will find more examples. Inshallah, you won't find examples in your life, but you will see it. Very, very unfortunately, very common is happening. And that is every time there is an abundant blessing, there is an abundant reward somewhere, subhanAllah, the mischief of shaitan is also focused there as well. Ashura is a very holy day. Some families, the night before that, or it's around these holy nights, you see husband and wife, they're fighting cats and dogs, as we say. And some issues happen between them. Eid al-Ghadir, very holy time, you see again there is a family issue between them. Remember this, and this is definitely one of the mischiefs of shaitan. That when there is a reward for you, we say that when there is a treasury, there is always a snake behind it to bite you. Wherever there is a treasury, be careful, there is a snake around. That the snake is shaitan, as a figure of a speech. Shaitan is there because he doesn't want us to get it. Or we attend the majlis of Imam Hussein, we weep and cry, and really we get so emotionally attached to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Subhanallah, the moment that we have finished, because he knows, shaitan al-la'in, he is more knowledgeable than all of us. More knowledgeable than all of us. So he knows that it's not just enough to have wept or cried for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You have to maintain it until the day that you die. So before we reach home, he tries to grab it from us. How? By getting us into a gossip. Sitting and gossiping, already we've lost it. It's just like you have a bucket of pure milk and a drop of blood or urine in it. You have to chuck it, isn't it? Useless. That's the mischief of shaitan. We have to be very careful. The irony is that because we have done something that we assume it's good, on the day of judgment, even we are complaining to God, hey God, what happened? Sheikh Mansour, astaghfirullah, he's going to say that, God, what happened? On the day of Ashura, I read Maqtal, I attended the procession. How come none of them are in my book of action? What happened to it then? God says, sorry, mate, you lost it. You lost it before you even, you know, you could not maintain it for a day. God forbid. So please remember, maintenance of an action is more important than the action itself. And wherever that there is a rich reward, there is a heavy challenge with shaitan as well. Read between the lines and be always very careful. All right. But the question still is there. Would Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu farajahu sharif, would Imam Hussein sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, would Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after 10 nights and days of mourning, commemorating, crying, volunteering, whatever that we've been doing for Ashura, for Muharram, would Imam Hussein alayhi salam be pleased with me? Would Imam Hussein alayhi salam tonight say that I'm proud of you as my follower? Who doesn't want Imam Hussein to tell him that I'm proud of you? Anyone? I'm sure we all would love it, isn't it? But Imam Hussein is going to say that, no, I won't be proud of you just because of how much you cried for me or made people cry for me or how much food you distributed, how much food you volunteered or you donated, you fed, you know, my mourners. Barakallahu feek, that's good, but I was not killed because of that. That whether you have you give rice or you give meat or you give this type of food or that type of food, I was not killed just because you cry for me. I did not sacrifice my infant, my child, just because of that. Yani a few drops of tears and you've done your job. My daughter, as I'll tell you tonight, my daughter Sakine, when they attacked, they raided the tents and they grabbed her scarf. They grabbed her scarf because they were after her earrings. La hawla wa la quwwata. I'll tell you tonight, inshallah. As soon as they just grabbed her scarf, she fainted. She narrates herself later on. She says, I woke up at the bosom of my auntie Zainab. Why did she faint? Not because she was petrified that she will lose her life. For Ahlul Bayt, giving their life for the sake of God, male or female, that's a habit. That's easy for them. She sisters fainted, Sakine, Sayyida Sakine, because she had never had this situation that a stranger looks at her hair. All right? So please, please take it serious. Think twice. Sayyida Zainab on the day of judgment is going to confront you possibly. Inshallah, you're not among them. But I have to be honest with you. I love you, really. You're like my sons, my daughters, I told you. I won't be fair to you sitting here and don't share this with you. Even though it may sound a bit bitter, but that's the truth. Sometimes truth hurts. I have to share it with you and with myself. Sayyida Zainab, for whom you're going to cry tonight, inshallah. And you've cried for her and for her father before. Sayyida Zainab on the day of judgment is going to come to you and says that an enemy, one of the murderers of my father, pulled out my scarf from my head. You took it off yourself? You took it off yourself? And still you call yourself mourner of my father Hussein? How can you do this? Anyone takes off a Muslim, takes off her hijab, she will be also one of the enemy of my father Hussein. Because my father told the whole world until the day of judgment, the reason that I'm standing against Yazid is not just because I wanted to become a governor against him. I was after position. Not because Yazid doesn't let people pray and fast. People at the time of Yazid and Muawiyah, they used to pray and fast as well. You all have heard this part of the story of Karbala. As Imam Hussein arrived on the plain of Karbala, even the troops, I must have mentioned it here, the troops of Kufa led by Hurr ibn Yazid, they prayed behind Imam Hussein. So the issue is not that they are a bunch of people, they don't pray, therefore we have to fight them to pray. The issue was not they didn't fast and Imam Hussein was fighting them to fast. Imam Hussein says, Yazid rajulun fasiq. He is a sinful guy. Mu'linun bilfisq. Openly he commits sin. A Muslim sister who openly, publicly, she walks out, safara, with no hijab, she's publicly sinning. My dear sister, this is a big sin. Azizam, what can I say? You're harming yourself. You're gonna regret it tomorrow. Tomorrow come, you're gonna regret it. I know that this is not you. I know that your heart is pure. And you have been influenced, brainwashed, peer pressure, you name it. But come tomorrow, you look back and you regret it that some guys that had seen you without the hijab and now you've made a change in your life and you hate it. God knows how long you go like this. Inshallah, it won't be long. But God knows how long you go like this. Time will come this time, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years. God knows how long. You're going to compensate. You have to pay compensation for it in your life in Barzakh. To pay compensation in Barzakh, you may not afford it. We cannot afford it in dunya. Read Dua Kamil and see how Imam Ali is weeping, crying. He says that we cannot afford the punishment, the chastisement of this dunya, let alone in the hereafter. What is the punishment in this dunya? Like a girl that I knew, I'm not going to say that everyone who goes through this is because she was not practicing hijab. But sometimes, yes, that's a punishment. That she had to go through a chemotherapy because of the kind of the cancer that she had. Lost all her beautiful hair. All right? This is just side of the one taste of it in this dunya. Let us make a vow, let us make a promise. Ya Hussein, no matter how bad I am, but I love you. I have no doubt that I love you. And I believe in this ayah of the Quran. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ I come to you as well. Finish with the girls and then the guys' turn will come. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ Say to the believing women, don't you believe in God? Don't you say I'm a Muslim? Muslima, alhamdulillah you do. Don't you say I love Imam Hussein? So Imam Hussein is going to say that those who selectively practice Islam, those who select ayat of the Quran that say I believe in this and I don't believe in that. نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ I believe in part of the Quran that does not affect my social life. But the parts of the Quran that is going to affect my social life, forget about it. I become mujtahid there and I don't want to practice it. Quran says hypocrites are like this. This is a hypocritical attitude towards the Quran. Don't say that I don't want to be hypocritical, not wear it at work or in the uni, but when I come to the masjid, wear it. I don't want to wear it all the time. Why don't you take it the other way around? Don't be hypocritical, wear it all the time. Ajib. As if it's necessary not to go to work or to the uni with hijab, and she says, I don't want to be hypocritical. No, of course don't be hypocritical. Wear it all the time. Look at your other sisters that are wearing it all the time. No one is going to kill them. Nothing is going to happen. In fact, they're more protected. Besides, you will making a shield around yourself spiritually. You make Imam Hussein proud of you. You make Sayyidah Zainab proud of you. Don't you want this? Come tomorrow, time will come, even if you live a normal life. And how long do you want to live here? 70, 80, 90? At the end of the day, we have to go. When you lie down in your grave, and you say, Ya Hussein, it was on Ashura day, the year 2013. That in the evening of Ashura, which belonged to your daughters, to your wife, to your sisters, Sheikh Mansour spoke about hijab and I made a promise. I said, I'm not going to take it off anymore. For the love of Hussein, for the love of Sayyidah Zainab, spit on me if you don't benefit from it. Spit on me. Curse me if Imam Hussein alayhi salam doesn't come to your rescue in that very night that no one is there to help you. No one is there to help you other than Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, who are the actual intercessors because of the honor and respect that they have in the eyes of God. You promise Imam Hussein one thing, Imam Hussein promises you one thing. You promise him to keep your hijab, to maintain your religion, Imam Hussein promises you to take you to paradise. Sayyidah Zainab promises to take you to paradise. Is it a good deal? Deal or not deal? Deal's done? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now your turn. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now brothers, it's our turn as well. And by the way, please don't take any offense to it. I have no idea, obviously. I don't know the community. My assumption is that as I can see, seeing is believing. I see all of you with hijab. I believe all of you are with hijab. You are the messengers of Imam Hussein. Relay what you heard to your friends in a very compassionate, caring way. This is called caring and sharing, or sharing and caring. Also, likewise, we want brothers that Imam Hussein alayhi salam be proud of us. We want to live a life, and tonight we want to make a promise to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because we love him most, because we feel for him, because we attend the majalis, especially volunteers that I kiss their hands. How much of their time they had to sacrifice. Especially, the more you have, spend money-wise, time-wise, for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Brothers are coming from another country to attend the program here. Nobody wants to get it wasted. Surely you mean business. Otherwise, it's not that you are a bunch of like jobless bludgers that they had no life, bored, and decided, all right, let's go and just get entertained with Sheikh Mansour. Especially Sheikh Mansour doesn't know how to entertain you. You definitely meant business coming here, isn't it? Now that we mean business, let's fulfill the business. Let's keep the momentum with Imam Hussein alayhi salam all around the year, not only on Ashura time. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is telling the sisters, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَضْنَ فُرُوجِهِنَّ. As Quran is telling them about the hijab, is also before that is telling us, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَضُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing men, Imam Hussein says that, my lovers, those who came and cried for me, those who volunteered your time for me, sacrificed generously your money for me, Quran says, I was killed so that Quran is not killed. I sacrificed my life, my family, so that Quran is not sacrificed, so that Quran is not abandoned. All right? Quran is telling you and me and all of us, lower your gaze. You know, there are some guys, they go to the gym, mashallah, feet and six packs. You know what is six packs? All right? I call them for a challenge. I said that don't show off with your muscles. Excuse me, with all respect, chimpanzees, even they've got the muscles, may perhaps be stronger than you and I. I don't, but some of you, all right? If you want to really show how strong you are, show me, not show me, show God, show your friends how strong your muscles are. The muscles of your eyes, I mean. How strong the muscles of your eyes are. You come across a scene that you know you should not look at her. You can lower your gaze. You can turn your face. If you could do that, you are a very strong person. The Prophet says you are definitely a hero. All right? Otherwise, no matter how tall, how big your muscles, how strong your muscles are, you are the weakest. You are the weakest person who has no control over his lust. Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam were not sacrificed just for our cries. You will hear it, inshallah. I'm not here to continue the story of Karbala. When they go to Kufa, people of Kufa, they were weeping and crying as the caravan of captives arrived. They were looking at them crying. I mentioned one night to you the crocodile tears, remember? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam turns around and says that, هَاُولَيْ يَبْكُونَ عَلَيْنَا فَمَنْ قَتَلَنَا. Look at them. They are crying for us, so who killed us? So a mere tears doesn't necessarily mean rescued, being rescued from the hellfire. Action matters. Wallah al-Azim, as a compassionate fatherly figure, I'm sharing this with you. Please, because you are young, you can make much better difference than me. For people of my age, it's perhaps almost too late to make a change in our characters. You guys are young. You have a lot of opportunities ahead of you. You guys, because you are young, and if you can maintain your, especially at the age that you are, remember I told you that it's a very critical stage of your life. If by the grace of God, if the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and your attachment, your tawassul to Imam Hussein helps you pass this critical stage of your life safe and sound before, without falling into fornication, adultery, any such things, then you will reap the reward of it later on yourself. Subhanallah, some of us, we don't know what is expect. What are we expecting in the future? What goes around, comes around. Some of the brothers, they come to me. I told you that I've been a family counselor for the last almost 15, 16 years or more. Many such situations I have seen. I tell them that if you are virgin when you get married, then you can expect and you, God will bless you with a virgin girl. But if you'll be mucking around, don't, what goes around comes around, my friend. If it doesn't, subhanallah, I'm so ashamed to mention this, but it's the word of Imam Ali alayhi salam, man zana zuniya bih, whoever commits adultery, adultery will be committed in his household somehow, to someone near to him, that is going to hurt him later on down the track. What goes around comes around. Don't think that you are living in such a world that there's no one, there's no surveilling camera, nobody knows. No, there's no such thing. يَوْمَ إِذَنْ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. That piece of earth that we are sitting as is keeping the record of the good deeds, keeping the record of the bad deeds as well. God has made such a strong law, 100%, that like the law of gravity, what goes around comes around. You do good in ahsantum, ahsantum li'anfusikum. If you do good, you do good to yourself. Wa in asa'tum falaha. You do evil, it comes back again to us. We have to be very careful. We have to be very watchful. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was sacrificed and sacrificed all what he had so that I don't lose my faith by sinning. Imam Hussein fought against Yazid because he was drinking alcohol. So those who still drink alcohol and they think that, all right, just once a year during Muharram, no alcohol, and I go to Majlis of Imam Hussein, they are just mocking themselves. Trust me, mocking themselves. They are fooling themselves. That's not what Imam Hussein wants from us. Imam Hussein wants practice. If by words would be enough, they would also sit and talk and give lectures. They acted, and there is expectation of action from our end as well. Now, the solution to all these issues that we have to maintain our religion, God knows whether next year I'm going to be alive and around to come again here, share some words of God and Ahlul Bayt with you or not. Inshallah. God knows whether, with all respect to all of you, and may God protect you and prolong your lives, but the reality is this, nobody knows. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. Nobody knows when and where he or she is gonna die. Do you have any doubt? If you have any guarantee that you'll be alive until next year, good luck for you. I don't think anyone does. So this Ashura could be the last Ashura of your time, your life, and my life. Okay, brother? Let's treat it as the last Ashura. Let's treat it as my last Ashura, that I won't make it for next Ashura. So make it or break it. Whatever you want to get in your grave, get it now. Any promise you want, make it with Imam Hussein alayhi salam tonight. Before it's too late, it still is Ashura. Still, tonight, still is Ashura. You know, your best Ashura, my best Ashura, is tonight when we all go back home, lying down in our bed, before we fall asleep. Let's make a promise with our dear Imam. Al-insanu ala nafsihi basira. Everyone knows himself or herself best. I know what I've done wrong in my life, and you know as well. We are all humans. Before we fall asleep tonight, review it, repent, and say, Ya Hussein, 10 nights I've been going to the masjid, attending the lecture. I say giving lectures, made people cry for you, read majlis. Ya Hussein, 10 nights I was fed by you. 10 consecutive nights I was having your dinner. I was sitting around at your tablecloth. I'm expecting a change in my system, Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein, don't forsake me. Don't leave me. This is my last Muharram possibly. Ya Hussein, Ya Sayyid Zainab, help me. I'm living somewhere. I don't have access to scholars easily. I don't have access to those ulama to easily learn from them. I'm facing a lot of challenges in my life. Each and every one of us just mentioned some of the challenges that you are facing in your life. Ya Hussein, I love you no matter who I am. I love you and look at these challenges that I have. I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I can't make it by myself. Unless you come to my intercession, not only in Akhira, in dunya, in my life, in dunya as well, Ya Hussein, help me, give me a strength that I can put on the hijab on my head so that you'll be proud of me. Help me that I can maintain my religion. If I'm slack with my, have been slack with my salat, Ya Hussein, I know that today, the day of Ashura, you were in the middle of a battlefield. You even didn't delay your salat. Ya Hussein, help me that inshallah from tonight, from tomorrow morning, I will be punctual when it comes to my salat, to my Islamic duties. Help me that in every decision making, I give priority to my religion, not to my friends. Not just because my friend is going to be upset with me. Let the whole world be upset with me. Who cares? Make me so strong that even if the whole world gets upset with me, but you are pleased with me, I go with your pleasure. Because I know that when I die, none of my parents, my sibling, my friends that I've been caring for them, nobody is there to help me. Isn't it? Have a bit of talk. I just gave you an idea. You know better what to talk. Please spend some time privately tonight. Sisters, speak with Sayyid Zainab. Sayyid Zainab from tonight, she is very much grieved. Let me take you to Karbala. Enough is enough. I just wanted to touch on the issue and honestly didn't get a chance to tell you what I still have in mind. But inshallah, al-aqilu yakfihi al-ishara. A hint is enough and you take the rest of it yourself. Remember that today we spoke about until when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in his murder site. Towards the last minutes of the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that I mentioned, unless it was in Ziyarat al-Nahiyah from Imam al-Hujjah Jalal Faraj al-Sharif, I would not have the guts to say that. I would not feel comfortable to utter these words that the Imam says, وَشَّمَرْ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ مُولِعٌ. He is holding his dagger sitting on the chest of Imam Hussein. Such a cruel animal really sitting on the chest of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and he is putting his dagger to the neck of Imam Hussein to sever the head, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam is bleeding all his body around. I told you to that stage that, and Sayyid Zainab, because once she saw that the horse is back without Hussein, she could figure it out what is happening. Let's go to Ashura and I tell you the rest of the story. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayki ya Ibna Rasulullah. Sayyid Zainab Salamullah Alayha is running towards the Maghtal, the murder site of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. We pleaded to the Almighty God and asked the angel, somebody stops this sister. She should not see her brother in the Maghtal. A headless brother. I'm not sure whether she ended up getting there or not. All what we are told is that once she got to the Maqtal, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was already martyred. His head was severed, Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Sahib al-Zaman. His body was soaked in his blood. Sayyidi Zainab, she puts her hands under the body of Hussein, her dear brother. And he turns towards Medina and says, Ya Rasulallah, Hada Husaynun Murammalun Bid-Dimagh. Ya Rasulallah, O grandfather, it's, look, this is your Hussein. This is your Hussein, this is our Hussein, soaked in his blood. Muqatta'ul a'dha'a, all his limbs are severed. I don't know how she goes back to the tent, but because the war was over already, the enemy started looting, attacking, raiding the tents. That's why she's running back towards the tents. The responsibility of Sayyidi Zainab begins from tonight. Brothers, martyrdom for Ahlul Bayt was, they were proud of it. It was their habit to give their life for the sake of God. It was not the first time they were sacrificing their lives for the sake of God. But up until tonight, there had never been an incident that any of the Bani Hashim, especially from the offspring of the Prophet, taken as captive. That's why Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he says that when I saw that they put my auntie and other ladies and all the children into chains and took them as captives of war, Osara, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says that I was about to die of the agony of this, because it would be easier to kill them than take them as captives of war. They raided the tents one after the other. What for? Because they were after getting some jewelries from the ladies. I told you earlier, Sakina Salamullah alayha, the daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, she narrates later on. She says, one of the horsemen, one of those enemy, came to my tent. He was chasing me and I was trying to run away. Until he just grabbed my scarf, pulled out my scarf. I don't know what happened after that anymore. All I remember that later on I found myself at the bosom of my Aunt Zainab while my ears were bleeding. I realized that he had snatched my earring. Somebody, and the guy himself is crying. Look at their cruelty. Somebody goes to him and says that, all right, you snatched her earrings. Why are you crying? He says, because I know she's the daughter of the Prophet. I know I should not have done this. He says, if you really know that, then why are you doing this to these girls? He says, because if I don't snatch it, somebody else will. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. Sayyidi Zainab, she tells us, she says, after that, they set all the tents into the fire. It wasn't safe to stay inside the house, inside the tents anymore. And that's why I ask all the kids, boys and girls, run away, get out of the tents. Zainab is so desperately going to Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Remember, the only man who was alive by the grace of God, by the wisdom of God, was Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, who was bedridden. And they were after killing Imam Sajjad alayhi salam as well. Zainab, she says, I just dropped myself on my nephew. And I said, Wallah, it's impossible to happen unless you kill his aunt beforehand. Otherwise, you will not reach him. And that's why they left Imam Zainul Abidin. This was one of the incidents that she really sacrificed her life and offered her life in support of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Let me share with you one very painful piece of the story of tonight. It's really heartbreaking. Remember about the mother of Ali al-Asghar, the infant of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Remember I told you, because of the restriction of the water, she did not drink, and therefore she didn't have milk to give to her baby anymore. Now, one of the things is that from tonight, the restriction on water was removed. So they provided water to the children. One scene is this, that these kids, that they were waiting for Uncle Abbas to drink water. Now that they have access to water, everybody is asking, Ya Zainab, Auntie Zainab, where is Uncle Abbas? Uncle Abbas wanted to bring us water. We know he's thirsty. I want to give my share of water to Uncle Abbas. How come we don't see his body at all? Another painful scene is about Rubab, the mother of Ali al-Asghar. Also likewise, because she had a sip of water, her breast started leaking and now she's got milk. But she doesn't have her baby anymore. Painfully, she's crying and talking to herself. She's looking for her baby, Ali John. My dear Ali Asghar, come, your mother now has got milk for
you. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ مُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَبِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ.